Read from Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We're running a race this evening. If you've been born of the Spirit of God and have been given faith in Jesus Christ, you're running the Christian race tonight. This is not an easy race. It's not a short race. It's a long race. It's a race that requires endurance, requires patience. He says some things about the race here. He says, first of all, that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You can read the preceding chapter, Hebrews 11, and read about men and women of faith who served God by grace through faith, who were faithful to the Lord even unto death, even unto great painful deaths. Tortures, he describes, those that were stoned, were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. We're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. It's not a race that we run alone. It's a race that there is an audience, there's a cloud of witnesses surrounding you. Chief most would be the Lord Jesus Christ. Our God is watching the race that we're running. We read in 1 Peter that the heavenly angels desire to look into the things of the gospel. They desire to be here this evening and look into the mystery of the gospel, that God the Son would come and give His life for His people. There's a great cloud of witnesses. And he says, seeing we're compassed about with this cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. In this long-term race of endurance, this Christian race, we're surrounded by witnesses, and we're to lay aside the weights and the sins which do so easily beset us. Maybe only you this evening know the sin and the weight that's hindering you in your Christian walk. Maybe you're like me, and the besetting sin that you so struggle with is the fear of man. Maybe that's the weight that hinders you in serving God and keeping the word of the Lord and following the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Maybe your besetting sin is the love of money. Maybe your desire for wealth and prosperity or comfort keeps you from following after Christ wholeheartedly and running this race. You know what that sin is, and if you don't know, the Holy Spirit knows and can reveal it to you. The apostle says we're to lay aside these weights, these sins, these hindrances, these things which hinder us in our Christian race. He says they easily beset us, and he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So there's the positive command. We're to run. We're to run this race with patience. And beloved, as tired as you may get in this race, as hindered, as overwhelmed, as discouraged as you may become in this race, one thing stands certain and constant and true, and that is that God's grace is sufficient. That God's grace for you to be faithful, for you to have the endurance, for you to have the patience, for you to bear up in the midst of discouragements and disappointments, in the midst of besetting sins, God's grace is sufficient for you. And now he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Have you ever been in a difficult physically demanding activity of some sort. Maybe it is literally running a race. Maybe it's some other form of physical exercise. And you can begin to focus. Maybe it's just driving a car on a long trip across the country. You can begin to focus on the task at hand. And you begin to focus on how tired you feel. But he says that we're to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It makes such a world of difference when God gives us the grace to have our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. Instead of having our eyes fixed on the discouragements and the sufferings and even our own besetting sins, but when we can have our eyes fixed on Jesus, the one who has authored our faith and the one who will finish our faith. This faith that the Hebrew writer speaks about is not just the mental and the heart grasping of the existence and the reality of the sovereignty of Jesus Christ, but it's that faith and that belief that manifests itself in obedience and humble service to God. He says we're to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So just as God has begun that work of faith within you, Jesus Christ has given you the gift of faith. He's going to finish that work of faith. And He's going to bless you to be faithful to Him by His sovereign grace. If you don't believe that, just turn back here to Hebrews chapter 10. He says, verse 38, "Now the just shall live by faith." What does he say in Romans? He says, "For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him," God says. So faith is not just this belief, but it's continuing patiently and enduring in serving God. And now what does he say? "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." That can only be true because Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. It says, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." Brother Bradley preached that there's going to be crosses for you to bear. Jesus said it in the beginning. And if you haven't thought about it, Christian, consider the words of Christ that we should count the cost. He says, "No man can be my disciple unless he first take up his cross and follow me. Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Jesus Christ endured the cross. And you're going to have your cross to bear. And it is going to be, as we heard, a dying out to self. And it says that it was for the joy that was set before him that he was able to endure. You have the Lord Jesus Christ set before you. You have a great cloud of witnesses encompassing you and surrounding you. And he says we have a great joy set before us, just as Jesus Christ had the joy that was set before him. He despised the shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. "For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." There's a warfare going on. This spiritual race that you're running is likened unto a spiritual warfare in Ephesians 6. And he says that one thing that can happen is we become weary and we faint in our minds. You can become weary and faint in your minds. And that's where Satan has the strong ground. That's where Satan has such a stronghold in my life and perhaps in yours as well. And that is in this the perception that we have of reality. We get a distorted view of reality. We get a distorted view of the circumstances around us. We forget the promises of God. We forget the faithfulness of God. We forget that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. So he says, "Let your eyes be fixed on him. Look unto him as you run this race. And consider him. Consider his sufferings. The one who bled and died for your sins." Oh, the verse that we read in Romans chapter 8, "He that spared not his only son, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things?" Over in Romans chapter 8. God gave us himself. God gave us his son. Jesus Christ offered himself freely for our sins. He says, "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." I just want to pause there and to end there. One of the ways we can become discouraged as Christians is when we are enduring the chastening hand of God. He says, "We're not to despise the chastening of the Lord." He says, "You've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children." One of the things that gets God's children into trouble is forgetting the Word of God, forgetting the promises of God, forgetting the exhortations which God has given us in the Scriptures. And he says here, "You've forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children." The very fact that you're receiving this exhortation is evidence that you're the child of God, that you are loved of God, that He has your best interest in mind, and that He's working all things together for good in your life, to His glory and for your sanctification. He says, you have forgotten that exhortation. He says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord, what? Loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. There are going to be times in our life when we need to be chastened by God. And the first thing that I want you to be aware of is the fact, and if you're a parent, you might pick up on this a little quicker than if you're a child and you've never been a parent before. If you're still a child living at home and you're young and you're being disciplined by your parents, maybe you're still receiving spankings. Those of you that are a little younger, you're being chastened by your parents. It's real easy to miss out on the love that's behind that. He says that whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Now God, when He chastens us, is not vindicating His wrath for our sin. God is not executing judgment for our sin when He chastens us. That happened on the cross 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ bore your sins on the cross. When you sin in this life, and the chastening hand of God perhaps comes upon you, it's not for God to, it's not for you to have to pay for your sins. Jesus did that. But the chastening hand of God is for your sanctification. It's for your good. It's for your growth in godliness. It's for conforming you to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, I know in my own life, and probably it's so in yours, it seems like God is just so merciful when He chastens, that we don't receive chastening every time we need it or every time we deserve it. I know we receive it every time we need it. But God is so merciful. And sometimes His chastening, I know in my life, has been in the form of giving me the very thing that I thought I needed so bad that I had made an idol out of. God perhaps gives it to me just to teach me how much I didn't want that in the first place. Maybe that's one way He chastens you. Seems like the most frequent way that I experience chastening is for God to simply remove a little bit of the joy of His presence, as David said in Psalm, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. God does not forsake His children. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. But perhaps He veils Himself a little. Perhaps you're not able to see so clearly the light and the beams of His glory and His love and His grace. But the wonderful thing about that is, what does it do? It brings us to our knees. And God shows us our sin, and the Holy Spirit convicts us. And He uses that, and we're brought into a closer relationship with Him. Being chastened by God is evidence that God loves us, and it's administered by God for our sanctification, for our good, for our walk with Him. But we need the exhortation not to despise it. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. As you run this race, may our eyes be fixed on Jesus Christ. And may we, when we face discouragements, when we face opposition, when we face even times of chastening, may we not despise it or faint when we're rebuked of Him. It's a blessing, children. Those of you that are children, those of you that have jobs where you are under an employer, it's a blessing to be rebuked and to be chastened and to be corrected. It may not feel that way. No chastening, he says, for the present seems to be joyous. If you go on and read down, he says, but afterward it yields what? The peaceable fruit of righteousness, which unto them which are exercised thereby. He says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. No chastening seems to be joyous, but afterward it yields this peaceable fruit of righteousness. It's well worth the pain. I have my employer has a saying that I like to quote. It's short-term pain for long-term gain. You know, as parents, we need to remember that. If you're in any position of authority and you're trying to help those along that are under you, if you're being chastened, you need to remember that. Short-term pain, long-term gain. That's what God does with us when He chastens us. And He says, based on this, we need to encourage one another. We need to lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. You know, we have times when we can become real discouraged in our walk with the Lord, and we may become despondent over even the chastening of the Lord. And we know that afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. It's an evidence of God's love for us, and in the long term it's going to make us more into the image of Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and your spiritual race.